out there, everyone in podcast land, and welcome back to the Front Row Podcast right here on NPR Illinois, the podcast for people who actually like movies, and the latest episode of Full Disclosure that is also morphing into MonsterCast. That's right, it's October here at the Front Row Network and NPR Illinois, and it is MonsterCast month, where we do all things creepy, crawly, and scary, and Full Disclosure is no exception there, because in October, a lot of, you know, tend to be scary movies tend to come out. Now, the full disclosure that I'm doing today, I'm Jeremy Gechner, by the way, the editor-in-chief of the Front Row Network. The movie that I will be reviewing for you today here on Full Disclosure, it doesn't quite meet the criteria of a, you know, straight-up horror film. It's a lot funnier than most horror films are, but it does still have horrific elements in it. And so we are going to be doing here the Full Disclosure on Zombieland Double Tap. That's right, the sequel to 2009's Zombieland. Now, if you've never listened to Full Disclosure before, how this works is that I act like you have been in the theater watching this movie with me. So, if you have not seen Zombieland, I'm going to be talking spoilers of both films, and I don't want to ruin anything for you. So if you are planning on seeing Zombieland Double Tap, make sure that you stop this recording right now, bookmark it, go see the movie, and then come back and finish listening here so that we can have this fun little conversation together. So that's it. You've been warned. Zombieland Double Tap Full Disclosure starts right now. Okay, so Zombieland Double Tap. This is the sequel to 2009's Zombieland. So this is 10 years after the entire first film. That film was directed by Ruben Fleischer, who has since become a pretty good name in Hollywood directing. His last film before Zombieland Double Tap here was actually Venom. He also did 30 Minutes or Less. He was a producer on Gangster Squad. He's got a pretty good situation going there with a pretty good track record so far, but he has returned to the director's chair for Zombieland Double Tap. And for those of you who don't know, I consider Zombieland, the first one of my favorite films of all time. I absolutely love the style that movie went with. It took the zombie genre and really turned it on its head. It kept all of the grossness, it kept all of the gory graphicness of a zombie flick, but it turned it so irreverently on its head and decided to make almost a straight-up comedy in the midst of the horror. And the way that film evolved out of, you know, just the rules that Jesse Eisenberg's character Columbus had, you know, for surviving, and how they would pop up in this colorful text on the screen to illustrate what was happening in the moment. Especially loved the cardio part of the very first Zombieland, where he's just running around in a circle so he can get some time to try and get his keys out of his pockets or his car. And the second time he makes this whole circle lap, you just see cardio just flashing all over the parking lot there. So it's just really, really fun, amazing stuff like that. That made that film just so irreverent, and also one of the best opening credit sequences of all time, with the slow motion of the zombies attacking helpless victims, and just the ultra slow motion camera For Whom the Bell Tolls from, I believe, Metallica. It was just a wonderful, wonderful opening. But now we cut to 10 years later, and it's amazing that this film even gets made, because the stars of the first Zombieland, Abigail Breslin, Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, they've all only gotten more acclaimed in that time, especially Emma Stone winning an Academy Award for La La Land. Woody Harrelson has been a multiple-time nominee, and Jesse Eisenberg as well has become a multiple-time nominee, and just the acting cachet of all these people have gone up so much that it truly is refreshing to see that all of them wanted to come back to do a second installment of this story. So the story picks up not 10 years later, but, you know, an amount of time later. Maybe it is 10 years, I don't know. But the film opens up with another great slow-mo sequence where all of them are fighting their way, where Tallahassee, Columbus, Little Rock, and, why am I blanking on Emma Stone's name? This is insanely embarrassing here. just to say, I'll get it. Wichita, gosh, don't know why I was blanking on that. But the four of them are fighting their way in slow-mo motion into the White House, which has been abandoned and overgrown now for many, many years with the zombies. And it's done to the tune of Obey Your Master, which I'm blanking on the band's name. But it's once again just a really fun slow-mo sequence where we get to see all the weaponry used and stuff and blah, blah, blah. But the premise of the movie is pretty basic here, which is that, you know, these four have kind of molded into a family of sorts. Wichita and Columbus are in a relationship relationship. And Tallahassee has kind of taken Little Rock as like his adoptive daughter of sorts. And because Little Rock is now becoming in that teen, adolescent, college age years, she's wanting to, you know, explore outside the nest, so to speak. And she's getting a little tedious with the tediousness of their everyday lives and such. And she wants to experience some new things. So, it's because of a proposal by Columbus to Wichita that both of them decide that it's getting a little too real for them, and they leave a note and they leave. But it is as they are out looking for these two, they happen upon Madison, who is just the textbook definition of a bimbo airhead blonde, that they find her living in a freezer in a mall. Pretty much this is about a month after Wichita and Little Rock leave. And so she's played by Zoe Deutsch, and she is actually really, really, really funny in this. She's got a great voice. She really plays that Valley Girl type of archetype insanely well in this. And it has some of the better comedy moments as well, which in not just her own lines, but also setting up lines. Of course, you've seen probably in the trailer where, you know, Tallahassee says she's still alive because zombies eat brains and she ain't got any. So it's really funny, but it's when, but she obviously has been alone for a very long time, and she jumps Columbus the first chance she gets. And it is then that Wichita comes back and says that Little Rock has actually left her in the dust because she met a boy from Berkeley, boy from Berkeley that actually she has now run off with as well. Berkeley is, of course, played by Avon Josia, and he's pretty fun. Just the textbook definition of a tool bag. You know, like he smokes weed, he's got a guitar, he takes credit for writing Bob Dylan and Beatles songs. I mean, it's just a total tool bag. But of course, this is the first boy Wichita or Little Rock's age that she's seen in Zombieland. So you know, she is pretty infatuated, and she wants to go with him. And so he decides that he's a pacifist. He doesn't believe in guns. And in this zombie world now, zombies have evolved into different kinds. So there's like a Homer that is a kind of mindless, you know, pretty non-threatening type. There's a Hawking that is a smarter kind of zombie that can kind of figure things out to try and get to people even when you think they wouldn't. There's a ninja zombie that doesn't make any noises but attacks you right when you least expect it. But now in Zombieland, though, there is what they call the T-800s, which is, you know, a playoff of the first term of Terminator 2. But these are zombies that are increasingly hard to kill. Like, one shot does not take them down, not even two shots. The double tap rule that Columbus has, not even two shots take these zombies down. And, you know, when they first encounter them, it takes Tallahassee about 20 to 25 different bullets. And then even that doesn't work, and he has to stomp the zombie's skull in with his boot to actually stop it. So these are really, really insanely strong zombies. And now Little Rock is out there with Berkeley, and they have no weapons of any kind. And they're heading to this pacifist paradise called Babylon, or as Madison calls it later, Babylon. So this leads the four of them. Madison's going to join in on this venture to go and find Little Rock to make sure that she is safe. Now, built into this is a lot of different subtext layers. Obviously, Wichita finds out that Columbus and Madison slept together, and so there's them wrestling with their feelings for each other. Tallahassee is kind of feeling a call of the wild type thing, like he's kind of tired of the domestic side of things and wants to go out there into his Red Creek Indian heritage, as he tells Columbus that he's got Indian blood in him. But he kind of wants to do like just the lone wolf out there on his own type thing for a little while. So they decide, you know, we're going to find Little Rock, make sure she's safe, and then we're going to go. Along the way, they try to stop at Graceland, which is where they think that Little Rock is going, and they meet up with Nevada, played by Rosario Dawson, who has stolen a lot of the artifacts from Graceland and gone to the Heartbreak Hotel that is there, and she's kind of doing her own little thing there. But they also meet up with Albuquerque and Flagstaff, played by Luke Wilson and Thomas Middleditch, who are literally mirror images of Tallahassee and Columbus, and it's a really fun little sequence there. And, you know, they actually end up turning into zombies, too, and it's an amazing sequence. And this is what I love about this movie is that Ruben Fleischer really uses the one take a lot in this film, a lot more than in the first movie. And it is wonderful because this specific sequence in the hotel with Albuquerque and Flagstaff as zombies, it is really, really intense to see how they choreographed all this action as one giant shot sequence. And it really puts you in the middle of the action there. And it's so much fun to actually just be a part of that. But, you know, long story short, you can probably figure out how this goes. You know, there's you did if you're still listening. But, you know, the zombies, they get to Babylon. They have no weapons. And the zombies, the giant horde of T-800s are coming in to you know, go nuts on them. And they have to formulate a plan to save the day. So, look, does this film live up to the first Zombieland? You know, I think it's a worthy sequel. I think it stands up very well next to the original Zombieland. I think the first one was just so original and so unique that now, you know, you're kind of seeing the similar stuff, but that's what you're coming to Zombieland Double Tap for. You know, you're not coming to see a completely rehashed thing. They tried to do that with the Amazon TV series that only went a couple of episodes, if any. You know, they tried to recast these parts and, you know, do like this broader storylines and stuff, but it wasn't the same without these four actors. And so these actors are so good at re-inhabiting these parts, and it's just so fun to watch them just kind of have fun with each other again. And Woody Harrelson was on the record saying that, you know, there weren't many movies that he had more fun on than on Zombieland, and it was a big part of why all of them wanted to come back, because they had so much fun making that film. And it really shows. There's just so much fun throughout this entire thing. The laughs are plentiful. You know, Tallahassee, once again, Woody Harrelson just crushes it in every single scene. That is one of the most funny characters that I've seen in a very long time in a movie. And the gross outs are still there, but it's still also pretty fun to be surprised by this universe and to be surprised by what they do with it. And it's, again, it moves along at a brisk pace, just like the first one. It's only an hour and 39 minutes. They don't stay around too long. You know, it's a pretty paper-thin plot when you think about it, but I mean, that's all you really need. You're going out there to see new characters, new adventures, but also to try and, you know, get that old feeling. And in that way, the film succeeds insanely well. Now, the script isn't as tight as the first one, so at times there's a little bit of a meandering effect, and some jokes go along a little too long. But ultimately, this is such an enjoyable time at the movies, and I can't recommend it enough, especially if you liked the first Zombieland, you are going to love this one. If you kind of were okay with the first Zombieland, you're going to be okay with this one, too. But it's still worth your time. And again, so I don't think I would put it above the first one, but I think I would definitely say it's a very worthy side-by-side comparison of the first Zombieland. So yeah, it's impossible to talk about this movie without talking about what I consider the best post-credit scene of all time in any movie. You know, there's a sequence in the hotel where Columbus almost gets shot by Nevada, and she says, you know, I almost murdered you. And so we learn that this is now a thing that, you know, when you get killed because somebody thinks you're a zombie when you're not, which is of course a callback to Columbus shooting the real life Bill Murray as he pretended to be a zombie in his own home, which again was one of the best cameo appearances of all time in any movie, Bill Murray playing himself there. And so to give us another little taste of that, they go back to the very first day of the zombie apocalypse when Bill Murray is doing press for a fictional Garfield 3, a third film in the Garfield live action franchise that he did. And so he's getting all these terrible questions. He's just doing all this press and everything. And it's once we get to Al Roker making a cameo himself that Al Roker then turns into a zombie, and all of a sudden Bill Murray has to go into action mode, and we get literally about 2 to 3 minutes of Bill Murray just beating the hell out of the zombies in this press junket, and it is fantastic. I mean, like, I never thought I would get to see Bill Murray beating up zombies with a steel chair, but man, they give it to me, and they give it to me with old Bill Murray too, like when he's an older person, and it's so much fun. I mean, you can tell that Bill Murray's just having the time of his life here. I mean, he's not like, you know, yelling and laughing or anything, but he's just like so like calm Bill Murray faced while he's just battling all these zombies. It is so fantastic. And like I said, I think this might be my favorite post-credit scene in any movie ever, and that includes all the MCU films, because it's just so much fun. And again, just keeping with the spirit of this film. Look, in full disclosure, we give our ratings out of 10. I gave the first Zombieland a 9 out of 10 because I loved it so much. I would give this one an 8 out of 10. Again, it's not perfect. I wouldn't put it above the first film, but man, is it such an enjoyable time in the theater. And it has a great opening sequence, too. I didn't even say about the Columbia Pictures logo. They have zombies attempting to bite the woman who holds up the torch, and she just beats the hell out of them with her torch before going back into her pose. It's that kind of irreverence that just continues to be the fun of this franchise, and the fact that they don't take themselves too seriously, they're not sticking around too long, they didn't try to make it a 2-hour film. You know, Ruben Fleischer knows what he's doing here. He knows what the people are coming for and what made the first film so successful, and so he's doing that again. And again, this is the kind of sequel that you really love in a movie theater, is this, you know, I'm going to have a fun time like I did the first time, and that is what this does. It's not aiming to be anything more or anything less, and ultimately that's what made Zombieland so great, and that's what makes Zombieland Double Tap so great, in this humble reviewer's opinion. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Full Disclosure here in MonsterCast. Still so much stuff to come. If you haven't listened to it, Guilty Pleasures and Beyond the Mouse just did a crossover on The Haunted Mansion starring Eddie Murphy. We've got Flashbacks returning with New Nightmare from Wes Craven. Classics is back with the original Dracula from 1931 starring Bela Lugosi. We're going to have Full Disclosures on The Lighthouse, on Little Monsters. We're going to have the Pop Culture Draft Nights doing a ghost draft, a movie ghost draft, which is going to be great. And then, of course, we're doing a crossover with Guilty Pleasures with Silver Bullet, Stephen King's novel that was adapted into that. And then, of course, we've got two horror film spotlights left, Oculus, Our Ghost Story, and then Cabin in the Woods right there on Halloween night. If you want to find more from us, go to frmpod.com or nprillinois.org. And as always, you can find us on social media, the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, and Front Row Reviews with Z on Twitter. All right, that's going to do it here for the Front Row Network in NPR Illinois. I am Jeremy Gechner, and as always, we will see you in the front row.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org.